like...
Oh, did you hear about... we can actually start the episode with this one. The... So, I just saw this... I think it was on TikTok. I can't remember where it was, but it was a huge tornado. It was the F5 tornado. Mm-hmm. And then all the little kids talked about seeing butterfly people.
No.
Did you ever hear about that?
No.
Look it up. Oh, it's wild. Geez. Do you know... it didn't see butterfly people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was...
Real.
That was... They were just skinned.
Skinned, yep. Mm-hmm. And just went...
It's like the Blood Eagle, but different.
Yeah, but different.
But different.
But different.
Anyway, what are we getting into this week?
There are some places where ghost stories are so famous that they've almost become inseparable from the building itself. Places where legends are repeated so often that eventually nobody stops to ask whether they're true. The Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana, is definitely one of those places. A sprawling antebellum home draped in Spanish moss, a house surrounded by tales of murder, poison, revenge, ghostly children, phantom footsteps, and a mysterious woman in a green turban who terrified visitors for decades. Today, it's often called one of the most haunted houses in America. But here's the strange part. Many of the stories that supposedly explain all the hauntings may have never actually happened at all.
That somehow makes the whole thing even creepier. Because usually when we cover a haunted location, you can point to some horrible tragedy and say, well, that's probably where the ghost story started. But with the Myrtles, researchers started digging through the actual records and discovered that some of the most famous stories connected to the house are either heavily exaggerated or completely false.
Yet, people keep reporting the same things. A woman in green, children laughing in empty rooms, footsteps climbing a staircase, furniture moving on its own, handprints appearing in a mirror, and guests waking up in the middle of the night to discover someone standing beside their bed.
So tonight, we're actually asking a question. If legends aren't true, then who or what is haunting the Myrtles Plantation?
I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives. Before we begin tonight's episode, I want to give a trigger warning that this episode contains discussions of slavery, racism, violence, murder, death, disease, child death, and historical abuse. While we do strive to present the history accurately and respectfully, some of the events discussed do reflect the harsh realities of life in the American South during the plantation era. With that being said, before we tell you anything about the history of the plantation, I wanted to start with one of the most famous experiences reported there. The footsteps. Witnesses describe hearing someone enter the house, not running, not wandering, walking with a purpose. Heavy footsteps moving through the hallway towards the staircase, then climbing. One step, two steps, three steps, all the way up to the 17th stair. And then, nothing. Silence as though the person simply just vanished. The story says that those footsteps belong to William Winter, a man murdered at the plantation in 1871.
What about Sammy Summer?
That was funny. That was a dad joke, I'll allow. According to the legend, Winter was shot outside, staggered into the house, climbed the staircase, reached the 17th step, and died in his wife's arms. It's one of the most famous ghost stories in America. Except there's one problem.
The historical records say it never happened.
Exactly. Newspaper reports from the time state Winter was shot and died almost immediately on the porch. There was no dramatic climb up the steps, no dying embrace, no 17th step, and yet people still hear footsteps. So if William Winter never climbed those stairs, who did?
I told you.
It was Sammy Summer.
Yeah, Sammy Summer.
The Myrtles Plantation sits in St. Francisville, Louisiana, about 30 miles north of Baton Rouge, and roughly 100 miles from New Orleans.
Call them Baton Rouge.
The house itself is stunning. Massive oak trees surround the property. Spanish moss hangs from branches like tattered curtains. The grounds are dotted with statues and gardens. And the mansion rises above everything else with its long veranda and elegant architecture. Long story short, it is beautiful. But also impossible to ignore the atmosphere. Even people who don't believe in ghosts often describe feeling unsettled there. Definitely like they're being watched.
I've noticed that something that comes up over and over with reports from the Myrtles. Even people who don't experience anything paranormal still talk about the Fielding. Maybe they got a grounder or two.
Fielder's choice.
Even people who don't experience anything paranormal still talk about a feeling. Like a house is aware of them.
And that's part of why the plantation developed such a reputation. Because the ghost stories aren't just modern internet legends. Reports of strange activity date back generations. Long before ghost hunting television shows existed, long before paranormal tourism became a thing. Families who lived there told stories, workers told stories, visitors told stories. And eventually, the reputation became almost impossible to ignore. Let's talk about the history. Not because history automatically creates ghosts, but because tragedy has a way of leaving its fingerprints on a place. The plantation began as Laurel Grove, built by David Bradford in the late 1700s. Bradford himself had a fascinating story. He was a lawyer who became involved in the Whiskey Rebellion. When the rebellion collapsed, he fled Pennsylvania and eventually settled in Louisiana. I feel like Pennsylvania always is just tied into some story somehow.
PA has like so much historical.
It's always pull somewhere.
From like oil to ghosts to like just history in general.
After receiving a presidential pardon, he brought his family south and established a new life. Eventually, his daughter, Sarah Mathilda, married a man named Clark Woodruff.
And I'm going to say Kent.
Clark Kent. This is where things start to become tragic. Sarah died of yellow fever, and then one of her children died. And then another. All within a short span of time. Imagine that. Losing your wife, then your son, and then your daughter, all within roughly a year.
I don't think that's grief that anybody can comprehend.
No, that's uncomprehendable. And it wasn't unusual in Louisiana at the time. Yellow fever devastated communities, entire families disappeared, and the Myrtles was definitely no exception. Over the years, death became a recurring visitor. Family members died from disease, children died young, tuberculosis swept through later generations, the Civil War then brought financial ruin, lives were completely shattered. And then came the murder of William Winter, the only confirmed murder associated with the plantation. At least according to the historical record.
Which is pretty important because you'll constantly hear that 10 murders happened there.
Right. That claim is repeated everywhere. But researchers investigating the plantation found evidence for only one documented murder. William Winter. Still
killed
tragic.
By Sammy Summer.
It's still tragic. Still unsolved. But very different from the blood-soaked reputation that the house developed. And now we arrive at the story that everyone knows, which is the story that caught my eye. The story of Chloe. If you've ever heard anything about the Myrtles Plantation, you've probably heard this tale. According to legend, Chloe was an enslaved woman who worked in the house during the Woodruff years. The story claims that she was forced into a relationship with Clark Woodruff. Fearful of losing what little protection that she had, Chloe supposedly began eavesdropping on family conversations. One day, she was caught. And as punishment, Woodruff allegedly ordered one of her ears to be cut off. Afterward, Chloe wore a green turban to conceal the injury. Obviously humiliated and angry, she planned revenge. The story says that she baked a birthday cake for one of the Woodruff children. hidden inside were crushed oleander leaves, which were poisonous. The cake was served. Sarah Woodruff ate it. Two children ate it. And all three died.
And if that wasn't dark enough, the legend says the other enslaved people on the plantation were terrified of what would happen once Chloe's actions were discovered. So they dragged her outside, hung her from a tree, then threw her body into the Mississippi River.
It's absolutely horrifying and tragic, and it sounds exactly like the kind of story that would create a haunting. Except there's one issue. Researchers could find no evidence that Chloe ever existed. No records, no documentation, nothing. And Sarah Woodruff wasn't poisoned. She died of yellow fever. Her children also died of yellow fever. The timeline doesn't match and the details don't match. Even the children in this story don't match.
So basically what you're telling me is the most famous ghost story connected to the Myrtles completely falls apart when you look at the historical evidence.
Yes, exactly. Pretty much. That's exactly what I'm saying. But the sightings continue, which creates a mystery. Because whether Chloe existed or not, people are absolutely seeing someone. Witnesses have reported seeing a woman in green for decades. Sometimes she's described as young, sometimes older, sometimes wearing a turban, sometimes wearing a bonnet, but green is almost always part of the description. One of the most famous encounters came from a former owner, Frances Kerman Myers. She claimed that she woke in the middle of the night and found a woman standing beside her bed. The figure appeared completely solid. She carried a candle, the flame flickered, the glow illuminated in her face. Frances was so frightened, she pulled the covers over her head. When she finally looked again and reached toward the woman, the apparition disappeared.
That's one of those stories that always get me. Not because it's dramatic, but because it's like, it's just so personal. Imagine just waking up and seeing someone standing silently beside your bed. It's nightmare fuel. It's like the that night a few weeks back when Kobe was just barking in the middle of our hallway
like,
at nothing.
Like, what the hell?
Searched the whole house, didn't find nobody. Mm-hmm. Checked all like our cameras outside, nothing. And he's just standing and just growling in the hallway at something.
Yeah, no. Well, she is not alone. Numerous guests have reported similar experiences. People seeing a woman watching them, stalking through hallways, standing near doorways, vanishing around corners, always just out of reach. And then there's the photograph, which, don't worry, I'll post for y'all. It's perhaps the most famous piece of evidence associated with the plantation. The photo was reportedly taken for insurance purposes. Nothing paranormal, just documentation of the property. When it was developed, something strange appeared. A figure standing between buildings. A woman-shaped form wearing period clothing. Many believe it shows the spirit known as Chloe. Others disagree. But regardless of identity, the image became legendary. Even today, people debate what it shows. A ghost, optical illusion, a coincidence. The arguments continue.
Okay. This is probably the part that creeps me out the most. What about the mirror?
Yeah, the mirror. Inside the plantation hangs an antique mirror. Visitors claim they see handprints, fingerprints, smudges, even full-on faces. According to legend, the spirits of Sarah and her children became trapped inside this after their deaths. The mirror has reportedly been cleaned countless times. Some stories claim it was even resilvered. Yet, marks continue to appear, tiny handprints especially, as though children are pressing against the glass from the other side.
Did you ever see Lock and Key?
Mm-hmm.
The key that unlocks the mirror?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. One visitor claimed to see the profile of a woman staring back from the reflection. Others report seeing children. And some say the atmosphere around the mirror feels different. Almost heavier. as though you're not alone when you're standing there. Children are among the most frequently reported spirits at the Myrtles. People hear laughter, whispering, running footsteps, and crying. One of the most famous stories involves a group of nurses staying overnight. Late at night, they heard what sounded like a child crying. Concerned, they knocked on a nearby room. A woman answered and told them to go away. Later, they contacted management. The room was checked, and nobody was there. No woman, no child. The room was empty.
That story is somehow creepier because it sounds normal. They weren't hunting ghosts. They genuinely thought a child needed help.
Yeah, and those are often the reports that stick with me, the ones that happen to people who aren't looking for it and they aren't expecting anything. Mm-hmm. And then we have the piano. Visitors and staff have reported hearing notes being played, sometimes the same chord over and over and over. Sometimes in the middle of the night, people follow the sound, enter the room, and the music completely stops. The moment that someone arrives, there's silence, as though whatever was playing knows it's being watched. I don't mess with the musical instruments playing by themselves. That freaks me out.
No, but I mean, they do have, I mean, it, you know, you're talking a haunted place, but they do the pianos that play themselves.
Yeah, but we I feel like it would be.
Storybook Land and they have one.
It would be noted if it was a self-playing piano, I fear.
What if they're going for the creepy vibe?
Maybe, I guess. The Myrtles has also hosted film productions. One of the most famous was The Long Hot Summer, and according to stories from people involved, strange things happened almost immediately. Furniture was rearranged for scenes, crew members left, and when they returned, everything had been moved back. Again, and again, and again. Items disappeared, props shifted locations, the set seemed determined to undo all of their work.
Imagine trying to explain that to the production manager. Sorry, the ghost just decided to reset the room again.
Right? And apparently some cast members were more comfortable staying in trailers than spending time inside the house. One employee worked at the front gate greeting visitors, and one day he saw a woman in old-fashioned white clothing enter the grounds. She walked directly towards the house and never spoke, never even acknowledged him. Then passed through the front door without opening it. The employee quit shortly afterwards.
I mean, that's fair. It's a perfectly reasonable reaction. I'm out.
Yeah.
See ya. Here's my little name tag.
That would be enough for me, honestly. The Myrtles Plantation is fascinating because it forces us to separate fact from folklore. Many of the stories attached to the hauntings do not hold up historically. The poisonings, the staircase death, 10 murders that supposedly happened. The details become murky very quickly, and yet the reports continue.
Which leaves us with the two possibilities. Either generations of people are experiencing things that they can't explain, or one of the most famous haunted locations in America somehow built its reputation on stories that were never true.
Personally, I think that the real history is tragic enough. Disease, loss, violence, heartbreak. The house doesn't need exaggerated legends to feel haunted.
And maybe that's the strangest part. When you strip away all the myths, the mystery doesn't disappear. It actually gets bigger. Because now, we don't know who's haunting the Myrtles. We just know people keep seeing someone.
Whether the Myrtles Plantation is America's most haunted house, or simply just America's most haunted mystery, one thing is certain. Its ghosts aren't giving up their secrets anytime soon.
And if you ever find yourself standing in front of that mirror, maybe don't look too closely. I have another side note, because you said something earlier that, like, piqued my mind, and it had nothing to do with the episode, so I'm going to say it now. Have you seen any of the stuff about the conformity gate being undone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now there's, like, proof that it was fake?
Yeah.
So I'm not just crazy.
I never thought that you were crazy.
Well, so before I thought, I was like, oh, it's the propaganda. I'm just playing along for the fun of it now.
Right.
Like, now it's just fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of you that, like, hopes. That's like, oh, my God, that's, like, the greatest of all time.
It would be.
But then all of a sudden, I just started getting stuff popping back up on, like, my Instagram and TikTok where it was like, oh, proof that conformity gate was true. And I'm like, where is this coming from?
Right.
Because it's just popping up saying that it's true and blah, blah, blah. I think now the thing I just saw that apparently they have a movie. The Duffer Brothers are coming out with a movie in 28.
Yeah. I did see that, actually.
And I think it's slated to release on November 3rd. I think.
Somebody fact check me.
I mean, you can. I don't care. I don't know nothing. But
I'm still holding out hope.
I don't know. I mean, I gave up. I was just enjoying. I was just enjoying Conformity Gate because it was fun.
It was fun.
But I didn't just give up. It was just another Game of Thrones ending. But if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow us on all of our social medias to stay up to date with things going on, anything we're doing, which is normally, I guess, not a lot, reading, researching, trying to grow the show. If you have a story you'd like to share, reach out to us. We'd love to hear them. You could do that at ominousarchives@gmail.com. And if you are in the market for a new book and the dark fantasy thriller horror book genre is for you, be sure to check out our team member Sam's podcast over at Scare Me Sam. That's what she does. She reads and reviews those genre of books. She always does great work for us, and her podcast is just as good. So with all of that, I think it's time to get out of here.
See.
It's late. I've still got a chair to put together.
I've got Love Island to watch.
Until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.